Welcome to the Rebel Entrepreneur Podcast. I'm Alan, and this week I was getting a taxi into town to get some food. I got in the taxi, he drove me into town, and when I came to pay, he's like, "I don't have change." I was like, "Great. Well, this is all I've got," waving my note at him. And he's like, "Well, go and get change." I'm like, "Okay." And he drove me to a place to get change. So I wait there, and there was a line. So I wait in line. He looks angry at me. Another customer comes and goes, so he misses out on that customer. He's looking angry at me for standing there waiting, and he tries to force me to push the line and skip the line. And I'm very British. I won't skip the line. I will wait my turn. And it's just what I do. And he's pressing me, and he's pressing me, and he's pressing me, and then I get angry back at him. So I'm like, "You don't have change. This is not my fault. Like, are you not a business? Do you not provide change? You're not looking after me?" And then I get angry with him because he's getting angry with me. I go over the other side of the road. They tell me they don't have change. I come back. They say they don't have change. And I'm looking at him going, "What do you want me to do? No one's giving me change." He's looking at me angrily. He starts swearing at me. He's coming at me down the road. And I'm thinking, what is going on here? And I just wanted to run away. Have you ever had one of those experiences with a business where you're trying to pay, you're trying to do business with them, but it's just impossible to do business? Sometimes it all goes wrong. Sometimes it's easy. Sometimes we love working with people. Sometimes we hate working with people. If I ever see that taxi driver again, I'm just going to walk the other way. The last thing I ever want to do. And that's what we're going to be talking about on today's episode of The Rebel Entrepreneur, is customer experience. And I have with me a member of the Rebel team from the UK who I don't think you've met before. So I would like to welcome to the show Halima. Halima from Rebel UK, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me, Alan. I'm super excited about this topic. Loved listening to your story around your experience with the taxi driver. Things like this happen all the time, and I'm excited to dive into how your listeners, all the entrepreneurs, can really take this topic and put it into action today.
So I didn't have a good experience of that. My customer experience was dreadful. It actually made me want to like find a way to leave them a bad review. But there was no way to do that. But anyway, what is customer experience? We've given an example, but what actually is customer experience?
So people confuse it with customer service, but actually customer service is just one point of the process. So what customer experience is, it's the touch point from before they know you. So how are they aware of who you are at the beginning, and what happens next in the journey until they become a customer, and after they become a customer, and who do they tell? Like, it's every single aspect of your business and how you interact with that customer.
So it's not just that middle bit where you've done the thing and you go, "Did you like what I did?" That's generally what people think customer service is. It's the whole picture.
And many businesses only focus on one aspect, which is the customer service, and as soon as the customer buys, and that's the only area that they focus on. But there's so much more to customer experience than just that. Like, let's take a restaurant as an example. It's not just about when the customer comes into the restaurant. It's about way before that. Like, for example, there was one time where we went to a restaurant and it took us like 30 minutes to find a parking spot. There was nothing on their website. We tried to call them. They did pick up, and we asked them, where could we park? Nobody could help us. So we ended up being late to our, like, you know, our
reservation
appointment. Yeah, reservation. They didn't know that we were looking for parking, so we got someone else. They started to be all huffy and puffy and tried to say we can't have our table. So it was a whole thing, and something they were not aware of. And this is the biggest problem with businesses, is that they're not sure about what happens in their business, what happens from the very beginning when I discover you on Google Map, all the way to looking for a parking, coming into your restaurant, etc.
So how excited are you to go back to that restaurant? Have you booked again?
Nope, absolutely not. I feel like I'm probably one of the biggest people when it comes, I will pay extra for a good customer experience. So it doesn't, sometimes you could get the best product in the world. It doesn't really matter if the entire experience was a headache, you know, if they made you like do extra things and fill out forms. And I remember there was a rebel student that had products and she, you know, I was her ideal student, customer. And I went to her website. I was excited to buy from her. And I, for the life of me, I couldn't buy it. I tried my best to buy that product. Nothing existed on her website. And I thought to myself, there must be more to this. There must be more to the entire experience that people are missing. And actually, if you go online and research CX, which is the abbreviation
for customer
experience, you won't find much, which is really interesting. So you have to really dig in, go into YouTube and try to find courses in this area. So that's why I'm really excited about talking about this, so people can get a better understanding of what exactly it is.
So we can all come up with examples of bad customer experience. And I'm sure everyone listening to this, like, think of the places you've hated. That's the bad example. But like, what's good customer experience? Like, what is a good customer experience? How does it work?
So when I think about like a good customer experience, in order to get there, first of all, there has to be customer journey map, right? So for those of you that are listening, a customer journey map is making sure that you have touch points on that map. Now, it takes a bit of a process and it involves your customers as well. So we tend to think we know what our customer goes through, but actually it's not true. So we kind of have an idea of what they would do, how easy it might be, because we built it, we understand the system, we know what to do next. But actually creating a customer journey, first you guess, right? You say, okay, where is the different points in my business? And then you involve the customer. So to understand all the different touch points, you actually have to talk to your customer. You have to actually invite them and say, is this what you experience in the different areas? So,
and sometimes you just don't know. You just don't know what's going on. You don't know the other side, and you can have the best intentions.
Yeah.
I recently on the Donegan's website, alandonegan.com, someone messaged us on the contact form and said, you know, your contact form doesn't work. Well, they tried to use the contact form and then they find me on social media and said, your contact form doesn't work. I didn't even know the contact form. I don't think it worked for some time. I missed a lot of messages and I had to go and fix it. But you don't even know sometimes how that operation is, how it works, what happens. And I would bet that it's 1 in 1,000 customers who will actually tell you and give you feedback as to whether it works or not. Most will go, oh, it doesn't work, never mind, and go on to the next provider, go to the next place.
Actually, the statistics to that is actually shocking. 95% of customers will just go. They won't complain. Especially if it's not like a big, massive thing. It's not a huge inconvenience. So the contact form doesn't work. So they'll just be on their way. So it's like you're consistently losing customers because something is just, you know, it's not working or the link is broken. So it is something to look into. So going back to your, I guess, what is a good customer journey? It's, you know, making sure that each point of the journey that I spoke to is looked into, especially the bits that we tend to like forget, right? The bits that we're like, that are just mediocre. So then they won't cause any problems. They won't cause any issues, so to speak. It's just like, I guess like it's just normal. And how do you elevate that? How do you take it to the next level where the customer can actually feel really, really good at that point? So for example, like I want to say, like, for example, if NHS, right, one of the biggest problems with NHS at the moment is
the National Health Service in the UK, just for everyone listening out there in other countries. The NHS is our health service in the UK. Go for it, Halima. Tell us about the NHS.
Oh my God, I just realized that your audience is mainly from the US. So I'm going to complain
about they're all over the world. They're all over the world. Okay. So some will understand what you're saying. Some I will occasionally do a translation into other languages.
Oh, I see. That's awesome. So I was going to say, I was about to complain about the NHS. Now I feel bad about complaining about it. But yeah, so we have to call, right? You have to call at an exact same like time every day. And if you don't call at that time, you lose your spot. You don't get an appointment. And that's one of the biggest things I was thinking about is how do they make sure that people can submit their complaints without calling the doctor, without having to even see the doctor and being able to just go online and submit your problem. Maybe you want to send in pictures. And so like, and it keeps happening. So it's months and months and months. No one kind of sits there and thinks, well, could this be better? Could we make it slightly easier for people? But no, it never happens. And it's frustrating. Most of the time, I don't even want to call. So you want to avoid that, right? You want to avoid that experience for your customers. Sometimes on the other side, you might think, oh, everything is fine. Everything is working. But actually, there's a way to put yourself in your customer's shoes, and it's I need and I want, those two sentences. So if at the beginning, what do you need? So what do you do next? But instead of saying they, it kind of distances you from your customer, right? But by using these sentences, it allows you to really hone in on how they're thinking and how they're feeling so that you can draw up, like create that customer journey map for your business.
So I'm going to ask you in a second, how do you develop a customer-centric strategy? Because it's so important to get customers coming back and buying again and again and again. 100%. And I always remember I used to work many, many years ago for Panasonic. And one of the things they did every now and again was they sent their engineers out, the people who created the products, into the customers' homes. And they sat there and watched them using the products. And they learned so much from just watching the customers. They're like, I didn't know people would do that with the vacuum cleaner. I didn't know they would do this. I didn't know that would happen. Like, what are they doing? Why are they doing that? They're going to break it. And they had all these fascinating insights from watching the customer. And I think if I could give one recommendation to everyone listening, it'd be find a way to watch someone use your website, buy from you, use your product, eat your food, use your thing. Like, find a way to get a different perspective of what's happening and the insights you will get for your business. Or even hire your mum to watch someone use the products. Like, whatever it is, find a way so it's not you and you get, like, here it is. But you've got to be open to seeing that different perspective. So that being said, that's one way to do it. How do you develop a customer-centric strategy that like gives a great experience so that when a customer has worked with you, they're like, oh, this was so easy. I'm going to use them forever.
Yeah. So like I said earlier, there's certain companies that do this really well and there's certain companies not so well. So first of all, it's about gathering data. So you could gather both like data that's, you know, data like numbers or data where people actually say things to you, where they write, give feedback. So one of the things that I would suggest is for you to have like a section in your business where, let's say you are just by yourself, you're the only person that like has the business, you are going to be creating, let's say, a customer service, like a feedback, something that involves after a specific experience someone's bought from you, you ask them for a feedback. And all you have to do is, it could be just one question, which is like, would you tell your family and friends about this? I don't know if you guys after a specific service or a phone call, or you're with customer service, you get like a little message saying, how would you rate this? Would you tell your family members? This is what actually measures what. So if you score something about 6 or under, it means that most likely customers won't recommend your business to anyone, and you need to do a lot of work. So it'll give you that idea of what you need to do in order to be that like customer-centric kind of business. So the first thing is gathering data, information, religiously, I would say, like making sure that you are on every point and getting on calls with people on Zoom. These days, it's really easy to just get on a call, especially customers that are dissatisfied. Honesty is a big deal, right? So if you go on a call with a customer, they'll just tell you everything was amazing, blah, blah, blah. Or some customers will be like, yeah, everything's fine, it's good. But asking the right questions, like if we could turn this around and make this the best experience you've ever had in your life. So I know that you and Simon are always talking about asking the right questions, right? Asking questions that will get the best answers. And so by asking these types of questions, you get better answers, and making sure that you set up an environment, you facilitate an environment that will give you honest feedback, real feedback without any consequences to the person giving the feedback.
Yes. So those questions are so important when you can look a client in the eye and say, I know it didn't go perfectly. Help me to understand what we could do better the next time and what I could fix now. And then you just shut up, like close your mouth, leave the space and let them to talk. And that's such an important part of the feedback process, yeah, is to understand that. And one thing for everyone listening, if it's gone wrong, we all have a tendency to go, it's gone wrong, I'm embarrassed, I don't want to make the call, I don't want to contact them, I don't want to own it. Can it just go away? Which actually is the opposite of the best approach I would recommend, because I see the biggest problems are your biggest opportunities. So if something goes wrong, you have the opportunity to fix it. And if you fix someone's problem, that's where you get the raving fans. Like, nothing goes perfectly every time. People are aware of this, like they want it to, but if it doesn't and you fix it, that can create your biggest raving fans if you find someone that you've tried to help and then turn it around. So I would always say to you, if it's ever gone wrong in an experience, if the customer said they're not happy, if you're not happy with the experience, forget what the customer says and you go, I could have done better. Yeah. Speak to them. Find out a way to deal with it. Do not hide. If you can own that stuff, it's unbelievable what it does for your business. And we've had people who've gone from hating us because we've made a huge mistake to, let me own that. I'm going to fix it for you. I'm going to fix it for everyone in the future. I'm going to apologize. I'm going to make this better. And if you can do that, it's incredible the fans that you can generate for your business. And I think that's the power of this, the raving fans, yeah, that love what you do.
Yep, the advocacy. So they say that, you know, people that have had a good experience, like a really great experience, positive experience, they will tell an average around 9 people. Like, I'm talking about really excited, like, oh my God, this was one of the best experiences. They'll tell 9 people. But if they've had a negative experience, can you guess how many people they tell?
Well, if it's me, I normally tell everyone on the podcast, everyone on my Facebook, I put it on my Google reviews, probably 20,000 people.
Yeah, so around that, I'm joking. So it's around, so it's like 16 people. They'll tell average 16 people. So it's like anybody who would listen. Imagine like a friend of mine says, I want to go to this restaurant, and that restaurant I had a bad experience, or that business I had a bad experience. Immediately I will say, no, don't go there, because, and they will listen to me. Word of mouth is one of the most powerful ways for you to either have a thriving business or have a business that just dies, because you keep trying really hard on the marketing aspects of it, and it doesn't So you don't get that snowball effect, right? Where it's like you're working hard, but your efforts are going far and wide, rather than just it gets killed off every time you do your marketing efforts. You do the business, and then because the customer service isn't great, it's not expanding, it's not growing.
Yeah, it's unbelievable how many people I tell. Just this week, I was organizing a photo shoot and the photographer said, can you pay by PayPal? And I was like, I hate PayPal. Can I pay in any other way possible, humanly possible? And then she asked me, like, why do you hate PayPal? And I told her, and it's word of mouth travels very quickly. So I think, like, Halima, let's go back to how we actually implement this for a business. Because I think that's very, very, very critical. Is there a step-by-step thing that we can do to work out the customer journey, the touch points? Like, how do we actually make sure we give a seamless, and it's never going to be perfect, but as much as we can, a seamless end-to-end good customer experience? How do we do this?
So first of all, it's about like understanding, like, you want the customer to be having the best experience. So the first thing you want to do is analyze and gather as much data as possible. If you don't have data, like if you don't have anything already available, then you can't really, like, you can only do as much as you can, right? You put together, you know, get out post-it notes, truly pinpoint how the customer interacts with you. So if you're online, it's going to be website. If you're doing face-to-face, how do they find you? What do they do first? Who do they interact with? And if you're in a bigger company, let's say, you know, say the Rebel Business School, you want to involve all the staff members, right? It's not just about one department that's like, oh, you guys are doing customer experience. Actually, it's everyone has to be involved. Statistics say it increases about 240%, you know, that you get a better results. It boosts your performance if you involve everyone in the team. So making sure that everyone in your company is involved, if it's just you by yourself, so you're doing all the aspects, involving ways, setting up systems to make sure that, you know, you automate things. So let's go back to the pinpoint. So you're using post-it notes. I know you love post-it notes, Alan.
I'm a big fan of post-it notes, especially the Extreme post-it notes. We've spoken about a lot of bad companies today. Big shout out to Extreme post-it notes. Huge fan. They stick to anything. They don't blow off. They're wonderful. They're waterproof. I used them in like a storm in Bogota. It was amazing. Extreme post-it notes. Awesome. Let's balance the negativity with some positivity. Extreme post-it notes. Yes. So step one. Yeah. Break out the post-it notes.
Yes.
And then work out the touch points with your client.
So the first bit is the pre-sale, right? Like before a customer buys from you ever, how do they interact with you? Now there's lots of touch points and people are not aware of all the different ways customers can find you. Is it on Google because of your SEO? Is it Google Maps? Is it on social media? LinkedIn, Instagram, and so
on. Flyer. Yeah. Exactly. There's so many ways people could find out about you.
And it could also be word of mouth as well. So you're putting, you're basically mapping that out and writing down all the different ways your customer finds you. And then what do they do next? Right. How do they find out more about you? Is there a way to find out more about you? Because then the next stage is consideration, where they're thinking about, do they buy from you or do they buy from somebody else? So that's the next stage. Is there enough information? Is it simple? Are there reviews? Yeah.
I love that. So to give a real life example for people, just recently I was searching for somewhere with fluffy pancakes. That was my mission in Japan, find fluffy pancakes. So I type into Google Maps, fluffy pancakes, up comes a list of places. This is exactly what Halima is talking about. Like, yeah. I've done a Google search. I found some options. I look down the options. I'm looking at the photos. I'm looking at the reviews. I'm looking at the hours. These are my considerations to which one I choose. Then you click on one and you have a look at it and you have a look at it in more detail and you go, those pictures look amazing. Those fluffy pancakes will delight my wife. this might solve the problem I have, which she's hangry. Yeah. She needs fluffy pancakes. And that, like, you've got to start to think in that level of detail, because I don't think many people, some people do, some people don't. And you can tell this if you've ever tried to book on Airbnb, you look down the listings of Airbnb and some people have thought about the pictures and the listing and the stuff, and they'll help you choose it. And sometimes you look at a listing and you're like, was this taken on a Nokia 3210, this picture? Like, what is this listing? And I can see like dirt in the background and this, and they've not really thought about that customer experience, let alone when they turn up in the Airbnb.
Absolutely.
And I think you'll probably come onto this later, but one of the most visceral things you will ever experience turning up in an Airbnb is the smell. And sometimes you walk in and you go, yes, this place will do. And sometimes you walk in and you go, no, I'm not sure this place will do. And it's interesting, like the different senses come into play with a restaurant, with a shop, with a, all these different senses come into play.
No, I love that. And to top up what you just said, it's also emotions. What are your customers feeling at every stage? Are they feeling anxious? Do they have trust yet? So one of the things is I always bang about is trust, right? Everything you do in your business, when it comes to the customer, needs to help you build that trust, not take it away. Like, so your Airbnb example, those pictures take away trust. It doesn't give the person that feeling of confidence. So it's, again, it's like, do they feel confident when they look at these pictures? So bringing in emotions as well when you're looking at each stage is super, super imperative.
Trust and confidence. I don't think people really understand how powerful that is. I'll give you a real life example for this morning. Katie booked a surf lesson. First time I've ever been surfing. We were quite looking forward to it. We went out 7 a.m. this morning and I'm practicing. I'm falling off. I'm getting back on. And then like the guy is guiding me. I have a guy teaching me. The guy's guiding me out. And I'm like, that is a big wave heading straight forward. And like, I don't know what he's doing. And I'm like, that's going to hit us really hard. And the next thing I feel is my board tips. I've got thrown off. The wave hits me full on the head. I smash my head against the board and him, get spun. I'm disorientated. I'm in pain. I've got hit in the head twice hard. And I'm like, I'm getting out. That's it. I'm done. And he's like, are you okay? Are you okay? And I'm like, no, that hurt. So I get out of the water and I sit on the edge and like, I'm calming down a little bit. He's a bit panicked. And actually what evaporated in that moment was my trust in his ability to look after me. And we had a chat afterwards about what he did. And he looked at the wave, got it wrong. And then at the last minute decided he got it wrong and he twisted the board to try and throw me off, to throw me under the wave. I didn't know any of this. I didn't know what he was doing. I just got catapulted off the board and it was a disaster. And I'm like, I don't trust this guy. I'm not going in the water again with him. Like, I'm not doing that. And it's really interesting. I think trust can be built very quickly. And it can be lost in an instant and then your customer will never come back to you again. So that trust piece is really fascinating because you can do 99 things right and then one key thing wrong and trust will evaporate, especially depending on how you respond to the situation at that time. So like, how do you make sure you grow trust, maintain trust through this customer experience? Because we've been talking about the key points.
Yeah.
How do you do that, Halima?
So in my own experience, I've actually asked my, especially being on the, in the online space, I ask my students. There was a student of mine that purchased and she said, I've been following you for like 2 years and now I decided to buy. And I said, why did it take you 2 years? And she was like, okay, so...
Why? Come on.
So she said that she has this she has this idea of the online space, and she thought she would take my money. I would take her money and run away with it and not provide the service. So
it happens.
So I started to think about reviews differently. So reviews are one of the best ways to know if, you know, like if you want to buy something, you go straight to the reviews. You check out the pictures, the description. Has the person taken the time to actually say, like, you know, what the product is about? I think Amazon, although I know lots of people, there's some people that are not great Amazon fans, but they do this very, very well. Probably, I would say they are one of the best customer experience pioneers in our time. I think they are very, very good at customer experience and the journey and the steps. So if you want to like see examples of what you could do to build trust, take a look at one of their products. Research a product that's similar to yours on the Amazon page. Look at the pictures. They've got pictures next to other pictures to show you the size. They've got the measurements. They've got the description. They'll show you people's reviews, questions that have people have asked about that specific product, just to make sure that every aspect of that product is covered and it doesn't leave the customer thinking, like having questions, because a confused customer is not going to buy. They're going to leave because they won't have enough trust in order to take that step and go to the next point, which is buying from you.
And I think trust is very important. And it's actually the little things as well. Like if you go on Google Maps and you see a picture of fluffy pancakes, yeah. Do they look like that when you arrive at the restaurant? If yes, yeah. Trust established. If no, trust lost, bad review, move on. And it's really interesting how trusting the comparison of pictures from the website to this, the person you speak to the person that delivers, how the interaction is, how it works. And even if you've had a tough interaction at the start, you can recover it. The photography shoot I was talking about earlier, like, paying was difficult. I found it difficult to pay. And there was a point in that process, I was like, this is too difficult. I cannot be bothered to do this anymore. There's no way I'm using PayPal. Like, give me any other option to give you money. And I eventually sent a message saying, can I just give you cash when you turn up? She said yes. And when she turned up, she was the nicest human being. She was incredible. Her photo shoot was awesome. She established incredible trust. And I just want to leave her good reviews everywhere. And if I ever need another photo shoot, like, incredible, I will be going back to her. And I think a powerful customer experience bit in the middle can make up for a lot of different things. But let's go back to the strategy and the process. I just want to make sure we get this process down for everyone listening. So step one, we've broken out the post-it notes and we put the touch points from where people find out about us.
Yeah.
Do they come to our website? When they purchase, what they receive. And we've laid out all these post-it notes. And if you could see me, I'm laying them out with my hands on the wall in front of me right now. So we've done that. We've laid out what we think all of the touch points are.
So
even all the way to the end where they come back.
Exactly. So there's the, you know, the consideration, like the selection. So when they're choosing and like between the different companies, and then there's the sale section. So when they actually purchase, what is that like? What do they have to do? What happens next? Do they get an email? Or do they get left like there's no email confirmation or something that tells them what's going to happen next? And then once they are a customer, this is not where it ends. You need to continue that process and say, what happens when they become a customer? What happens when they are a loyal customer? Do they get like extra service? Do they like, does the company show loyalty back to that customer so that they're not forgotten just because they're over that line of, you know, making sure that once they buy, you don't forget about them. You still treat them really, really well.
You've got the money. Yeah. I've got the money. I've done the gig. Thanks very much. On to the next, which does happen sometimes.
Yeah. I think it happens more often than we think. People work really hard for the customer experience at the very beginning. But once that person buys from us, we suddenly think, oh, okay, we've done our job. So there's a cutoff point. We no longer have to do anything. Right. So
yes.
making sure all of those, you know, how can we make sure that loyalty is nurtured once they become a customer? What do we do? Do we give them discounts? Do we like make sure that we are, you know, understanding that if they have like a problem and they've been a customer for a while, making sure there's things put into place to make sure that that customer feels valued and taken care of. So understanding all those stages, and once you have those stages, you know, trying to add as much as possible to that. And then basically this is when you get secondhand opinion. So other people in the departments helping you build a more thorough, with data, with information, adjusting it as you go. Then the final piece of the puzzle is getting three or four people that could give you feedback of what it's actually like to experience that within your company. So getting a different like combination of people as well really, really helps. So having customers that are super satisfied. There's also customers that send you emails that are not happy, right? You get that. Inviting them to a call and rewarding them for being on the call. Like, so you're not just taking their information. They need to be feel valued as well, that they're giving you this kind of information. And going back to the beginning of the podcast, what I said was making sure that you facilitate a place where people can actually tell you the truth and actually tell you that, okay, this is actually what I felt. This is exactly the experience. No, or this is not exactly what I did. I found it very difficult to work on your website, so instead I went to your Instagram. So that's when you start to like discover like a whole new world that you've never seen. And again, putting yourself in the customer shoes rather than see. So in, they say it's outside in, not inside out, right? There's a difference between the two, which means you're not going from I'm the business and thinking about the customer. You're thinking about it in a different way, where you're thinking like the customer. You're thinking about how the customer experiences things using phrases like, I need, I don't know, a chocolate bar. What do I do next? Or do I need to go to a restaurant on Saturday? What happens? What's the first thing I do, second thing, and so on?
I met a fabulous business recently in Japan that gave English lessons to Japanese students. And it's thinking, okay, so I want English lessons. What do I type into Google? And then which website do I find? And what do I do? And do I sign up to this? And how do I get into the business's funnel? And then from that funnel, how do I end up buying a course? And then after the course is over, how do you follow up? How do you make sure there's more help or support, or they buy again, or they get coaching, or whatever it is? And it's really interesting how broad this is. So if you're listening to this now, we're going to sort of start to wrap this up. I think step one is listing out all those touch points and working out where you interact with the customers across the whole journey. Step two is sort of understanding some of their interaction at those points. So thinking, as Halima says, as the customer looking at the business, like how are they experiencing your business? And then step three, what can you do to make it nicer? What can you do to make it a better interaction? Can you, the thank you email for ordering, can it have a bit more charisma, a bit nicer, a picture of you going, thanks for your order, smiling at them? I don't know. What is it that you can do to make each step slightly more pleasurable so that when they work with you, they're thinking, that was actually fun. Like, I've never thought it was fun to buy X, but it was a nice experience. If you can go through each step and make it slightly better, people will just enjoy working with you. And there's some incredible stats about how, Halima said it earlier, we will pay more to have a service we enjoy than one we don't like. And if you think about it, people think it's price, they think it's service, they think it's quality, but actually a lot of it is, how much do I like you? How much do I like working with your business? Because if I have a choice between two products that are equally priced, which one am I going to choose? The person that I like and it's a nice experience, or the one I don't like and it's just a little bit difficult to do the business with? I'm going to choose the person I like every time. And in nearly every business, we have options. We can choose what we go for. So if you can find a way to make it easier to work with your business, it will have a huge impact on what you're doing. Yeah. And speaking of making it easier for people, Halima, one thing that historically Rebel School has never done well is look after people after the workshop happens. Yeah. So I was used to, when I was running the business, I'd run the 10-day workshop. I would put my life into the 10-day workshop. Then I would go home and sleep for a lot of the weekend, spend time with Katie. And then I'd be on to the next workshop on Monday.
Yeah.
And I didn't really have space because I've got another 100 people in front of me that I have to give my all to. It's like the 100 people from Friday, they vanished. And I never historically, we did well looking after them. But that's something you've been focused on at Rebel.
Yeah.
Is how do we actually care for people after they leave on the Friday of a course and move on?
Yep, absolutely. And being one of the presenters, also an ex-student, alumni, I have had the privilege of seeing Rebel in different angles and knowing the process. How did I find them to being part of the company? So I've got like a unique, like, I guess, like, experience of what it is it's like to be with Rebel and to work with them and also to learn and join the program. And so we would get lots of questions during the course, people asking about like extra support. Some people would have full-time jobs, so our courses, as you know, is basically a full-time job for 2 weeks, and lots of people can't get the time off. So we had like people that couldn't experience Rebel because of their circumstances, because of their full-time jobs. So we tried to find an alternative way to offer that experience and to make things, take things to the next level, so to speak.
So, which is why I launched the podcast, to be able to help more people. It's why we've done some stuff on YouTube. There's many things we've been doing to this. So what's the latest thing you've been working on?
So I've been working on something called Rebel Plus. I am super excited about this program, which is for Rebels to be able to get the education, like, you know, education that money can't buy. So at Rebel, obviously, our main focus is to give pure filtered advice that isn't like, you know, full of fluff. So high quality education, we have the podcast, the YouTube videos, all of the content in one place that is searchable. So people will be able to go on the Rebel Plus site. The launch is happening soon. It's actually tomorrow. For those of you that listen to this in the future, that's the 30th of May. So yeah, it's the first the first nugget is searchable content. The entire podcast will live on Rebel Plus, which means you'll be able to search for specific content that you're looking for. All of our like content from the beginning of time has been selected, chosen, made sure that it was, you know, up to date. And this is the first milestone. And I don't want to give anything away, but we have killer things coming up. I'm super, super excited for all of you to dive in. And I just want to say that it has been a huge project and we've been working on it for months and months and months. But the idea is to make sure that Rebels and all the entrepreneurs have a place where they can consume content that is completely free with a community. Yeah, that's... I can't stop talking about this, Alan. I'm sorry.
Well, it's interesting because like customer experience is what the entire episode has been about. And that's what we're thinking about is our customer experiences.
Yes,
you absolutely. Find us on the podcast. How does that experience work? How do we help you build your business over the long term? How do we support you? You find us through the course, you come on the course, and then you're like left on your own. But how do you find the extra support to develop your business? Yes. And we're just building this. So actually, we would love to know what you think. We want to know what you think. We have been testing it to try and work out the customer experience. But as we've just been speaking, you need to hear from your actual customers what this thing is like. So where can people go to find Rebel Plus and to sign up for this stuff so that they can, because one of my most amazing listeners, Judith, she's listened to the podcast for a long time. She always ribs me about my episode numbers not being very easy to follow and how can she find it. And she's exactly right. So this is going to fix this problem, which
yes,
I love.
Yes, it will.
But how can people find Rebel Plus? Where do they go?
So we'll put the link in the show notes, but just in case. So it's plus.therebelschool.com. So
plus.therebelschool.com.
Exactly. And you can, right now, you can join the waiting list. We have a massive event happening this week. So please come, feel free to join us. You'll get sent all the information as soon as you sign up. So yeah, that's the link to join. We'll add it in the show notes.
Perfect. And just to be clear with everyone, when we say sign up, we're not expecting them to pay, are we?
Of course not. It's not the Rebel way.
It's not the Rebel way.
It's completely free, as always, like, you know, high quality education, completely free. And we don't, and I remember just the other day, I was talking to someone about it. He was so fascinated. He said, "Oh my God, this sounds amazing." And then he said, "It's completely free." And I said, "Yes, it's completely free." And he said, "There's no like catch. There's no, you're going to ask me later to pay for something. You're going to ask me to buy anything." So he covered all the points. And I said, "No, we don't sell you anything later. It's completely free. So please feel free to join."
Obviously, if you have enjoyed Rebel Plus and the Rebel Entrepreneur, we will accept free Lego donations at any point. Feel free to send me Lego. I'm kidding. There is no cost to this. Just use it and enjoy it. Just give us that website once more, Halima, so that everyone's got it.
So it's plus.therebelschool.com.
Okay, excellent. So just before I summarize the episode for everyone, I just wanted to say, Halima, thank you for your energy. Thank you for your effort. Thank you for coming on the podcast and telling us all about customer experience and Rebel Plus.
It's been my absolute pleasure. Thank you so much, Alan.
Awesome. And for everyone listening out there, this is one of the most high value exercises you can do for your business. Break out the post-it notes. Work out all of the different touch points across your customer's journey and then how you can make them just that little bit smoother, little bit better, automate them to make your life easier, make the client's life happier. How can you improve the customer experience? Because it will help with your loyalty, your retention, your reputation, your word of mouth. It is incredibly powerful. So please take the content in this episode that Halima has shared with us. Go do it and keep those customers for life. Thank you for listening to The Rebel Entrepreneur. And as always, we say, go make something happen.